Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and Steve Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and he's the one that started the kneeling during the national anthem, about 4 years ago or something like that?
Seems right.
I think so, yeah.
That seems right.
3 or 4 years ago, and gained a lot of acclaim for that. He said he was protesting a lot of social injustices in America. And but he lost his job as quarterback for San Francisco.
He did.
And some people say it's because of the cause he was championing, and others say no, it's because he couldn't hit third and 12.
Mediocre quarterback.
Yeah. And so, but he's been out of the league now. And he's been killing it financially. For a socialist, he's doing great. For a Castro fan, he's
right.
Doing awesome, man.
Yeah.
Nike signed him to you got to stand up for what you believe in.
Right.
Remember that?
Oddly enough, stand up for what you believe in by kneeling.
By kneeling. Duly noted, Ed. Yeah. I got the irony. It took me about 10 seconds, but I got it.
I'm an irony machine.
An ironing machine?
An irony machine. Certainly not an ironing machine.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, if you were an ironing machine, I wouldn't hold that against you. I did that for 15 years till my last kid left the house. Then I retired.
Yeah.
Retired from the ironing board. Steve.
Yes, sir.
But Kaepernick, you follow the NFL.
Yeah.
He's having a tryout that NFL teams are compelled to go to?
I don't know if they've been ordered there, but they are encouraged to go to this tryout with Colin Kaepernick.
By himself? This isn't a camp for a lot of players who are trying to make it.
Not that I'm aware of. One of the things I can tell you is that there's no truth to the rumor that he is, whoever, if he is signed, he is going to demand extra knee pads. for pregame ceremonies. He might. I don't know. But, he wants back in, and the NFL, in wanting to be kind of woke, is going to hold a private workout, and it's going to be in Atlanta.
It became public, though.
Well, yeah, it wasn't ever that kind of private, but nobody else is going to be there.
Well, then they can say, see there, he still isn't being chosen because he had a great camp, a great workout. So if you can't see it, then you don't know. I guess some media will be there.
The media, I'm sure, will be there. All 32 teams were sent an invitation. Take that as you may. You know, Tim, if you invite me to a meeting, I come. I don't debate that.
Right.
RSVP. No, thank you. So I'm thinking that they'll be there. We'll see. I think this is from Colin Kaepernick. This is what he tweeted out. I'm just getting word from my representatives that the NFL league office reached out to them about a workout in Atlanta on Saturday. I've been in shape and ready for this for 3 years. Can't wait to see head coaches and GMs on Saturday.
Woo-hoo. Do you know, there was all the talk of, and I hope I have this story right, because, and I'm almost positive I do. When Colin Kaepernick was let go by the San Francisco 49ers, he was offered a contract by the Denver Broncos.
I have heard that.
Okay. So, remember all the story about he was blackballed from the NFL?
Right.
Now, I'm not saying teams were getting in line for his services, because he was, to a lot of NFL owners, he was toxic, because he was very divisive and he was dissing the American flag publicly. And that just, some people like that, but I would say a majority of Americans find that very distasteful, to say the least. So when I use the word toxic, he became toxic in that way. Now, he was a champion of the woke WOKE left here in this country because of what he was, what he was doing, and the causes he said he was kneeling for. But I'm just saying that he wasn't totally blackballed from the NFL after the kneeling incident. He was offered a contract by the Denver Broncos. I think John Elway was the GM, and his agent declined because I guess they disagreed with the amount of money they were willing to pay for. But I'm just making that a point. You know what? I don't care how good you are. You're out of the NFL 3 years,
and he's 32 now.
It's hard to make him, and he made a living off running.
Right.
I mean, that was his forte, is kind of running without the ball, running, looking to pass. He never was a great NFL pocket passer.
Which is why his stock, so to speak, went down.
Sure it is.
As a quarterback, because they were trying to get, the 49ers were trying to get him to be more of a pure pocket passer, and he was not as good at it as other quarterbacks.
The last 2 years that he played, he had a quarterback rating of 43.4 and 49.5.
See, mine was higher than that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, he was just performing poorly.
Indeed.
So that's a reason he was out more than anything else. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What do you got, Ed?
Well, I just wanted to let folks know that next week, November 18th through the 25th, is Operation Christmas Child National Collection Week. So I said it differently than yesterday. We are letting folks know that. Most of you are aware that what Samaritan's Purse does each year is to send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. You can pack your shoebox now with any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November. Again, that's next week, November 18th through the 25th. For information about what to put in it and where to take it, you can visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you.
All right, Steve, what do you got?
Breaking news, the impeachment hearing is still a sham.
That is shocking.
I'm sorry. That was a little editorial of me. So the Democrats have their counsel, their lawyer, Daniel Goldman, doing all of the talking for them, it seems. I know you guys heard a little bit from Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes in the last hour. Things haven't changed. The Democrats are consistently trying to pin work in on Donald Trump in regard to Ukraine, that he was asking Ukraine to help him politically. Republicans haven't had a whole lot of a chance to talk, so I really, don't know how they're what they're doing. I've had one ear on that and an ear on a couple other things that I'm following.
This is going to go on most of the day, right?
And on Friday, yeah. So
today's Wednesday.
So tomorrow everybody's going to take a deep breath.
The House is going to work on Friday?
Well,
that's shocking.
Yeah.
Usually a travel day for them.
If they can get Donald Trump out of office.
Yeah, that's true. They'll work overtime for that.
Gary Bauer this morning was on with Fred, who was sitting in for Sandy on Sandy Reyes in the Morning. And Gary Bauer was talking about this, says he's never seen anything like this in his whole time in Washington, and he's been there since the Reagan years. This is Cut 17.
Folks that choose to tune in today should not think of this thing as an isolated event. This began the night that the Electoral College passed the point where it was clear that Donald Trump had won the election. And people will remember, Hillary Clinton refused to concede. Barack Obama had to call her and say to her, that would be a mistake. You need to make a concession speech or whatever. But literally within 24 hours, the left was plotting how they would take down the newly elected president of the United States. And they've tried all sorts of things.
Yeah. So this is a continuation of their impeachment effort that they've had on since the beginning. And they're trying to make points, but really this is just the next scandal up that they can kind of gin up.
Wasn't the thus far unnamed, publicly unnamed whistleblower, wasn't it his or her attorney that tweeted 17 minutes after the inauguration about the coup begins or something to that effect?
Yeah, I do believe it was. So the representation for this whistleblower is certainly a never Trumper. Devin Nunes is calling the impeachment hearing a theatrical TV performance. So, it continues apace. I want to do other things.
So it's up for an Emmy life. Or an Oscar.
I think
Oscars movies, right?
Yes,
it would be
daytime TV. It'd be up for an Emmy.
Emmys, and it would be under the fiction category.
Okay, all right.
Best dramatized.
Now, by the way, Republican members of the House Intelligence Committee will get to question the two witnesses today, Bill Taylor and George Kent.
Yes.
They will. But now in one of the first exchanges with Adam Schiff, who's the committee chairman, Schiff said he would tell the witnesses they don't have to answer if, in Schiff's opinion, the question is meant to publicly reveal who the whistleblower is.
And that's not the only thing. They're not to. He tweeted out and has admonished them and says he will stop the proceedings immediately. He will direct the witnesses not to answer if they want to talk about what he called this thoroughly debunked conspiracy, what his words, about Hunter Biden being in a corrupt business or the Russian collusion, Ukrainian collusion with our elections interference. He doesn't want any of that.
So Republicans can't ask questions of these two witnesses about any of those issues.
If they do,
Adam Schiff will intervene and tell the witnesses not to answer.
But I think you're going to hear that though, because even if they tell the witnesses not to answer, it's important for the question to be heard. At least people will hear the question and hear Devin Nunes obstructing the answer.
Just from a viewership or watching it, it looks bad if you have a chairman of a committee telling a witness who's being asked questions by the political opposition, and then the chairman says, you don't answer that. I mean, it's like he's his
attorney,
a defense lawyer, right, or something. You know what I'm saying? Don't answer that. I'm protecting you as chairman of this committee.
What the Democrats apparently have not calculated, or maybe they have calculated and they don't care, is that even if they do that, even if Adam Schiff does that, if the House impeaches the president and this moves to the Senate, you can bet Senate Republicans will ask these questions. So they're not really gaining anything by pretending this is an actual inquiry and not a performance like Devin Nunes said it would be. So I don't know what they hope to gain by it.
Well, they are putting out to the public. And in fact, the Goldman, their attorney that's asking the questions, is in cooperation with these witnesses, because remember, these witnesses have testified before under closed doors, so everybody knows what they're going to say.
Yes.
So it's almost like they've scripted this thing. And he is pointing out or trying to make a case, and he's in some places doing a fairly good job of it, that President Trump was interested in looking at the Bidens, maybe for political reasons.
Right.
But neither one of these, everything that I've heard so far is, well, I was told or I heard or it's a, you know, my opinion is.
Your point that you just made is really key to me, and it's very succinct. Good on you. That maybe the president was asking Ukraine to look into the Bidens for political purposes.
Right.
Maybe. See, there's no smoking gun here. This all goes to motive as to what the president's state of mind, what was the president intending to do by asking Ukrainian president Zelensky to look into the Bidens and this apparently corrupt natural gas company. What was the president thinking? And nobody that the House is going to bring before this committee is going to know the answer
right,
to that.
Right.
None of them can say mm-hmm. what the president was thinking. They can only say, I believe what the president right. was thinking is this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it continues to pace. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow after we've had a chance to digest everything that went on.
Is there going
to
be new witnesses tomorrow?
No, Friday is the next time. I don't know that they're meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
Or at least in the public.
Well, they can't work 2 days in a row. So that's asking too much.
Right. Hey, did you hear that Hillary Clinton hasn't ruled out a presidential run?
Yes. I've been thrilled to hear that.
She was on a British talk show the other day, and she was talking about this, and the talk show host asked her, we'll hear the question and her answer, and then afterwards you're going to hear Doug Schoen, who was Clinton advisor, her advisor during the 2016 campaign, his advice to her. This is Cut 14.
With that, I now recognize myself to give an opening statement.
I think it's quite striking from a British perspective going through this book that you haven't included Margaret Thatcher. Surely she comes to mind
this
with gutsy woman, even
can
if you didn't
put
like
this on
her.
Hold for a second?
Well, she does, but she doesn't fit the other part of the
definition. I want to play that later. This is cut 14. It should be Clinton and Schoen, I believe. All right. Well, she isn't thinking about running, but she's hearing from a lot of people that she should run.
Yeah, can I give you the quote?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, she says, As I say, never, never, never say never.
Right.
Well, she just said it four times. I'm just going to say right there. She says, and this is former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on BBC Radio 5 Live. She says, I will certainly tell you, I'm under enormous pressure from many, many, many people to think about it.
And many of those people are in her head. I think there's voices in her head.
Well, As I say, I never, never, never say never.
Yeah, well.
Let me just say this. It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of the people who supported her 3 years ago are not asking her to run again when they look at the field of candidates that the Democrats have and the fact that none of them hardly stands any chance to beat President Trump. And, you know, she might be their best shot.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll run. I think she's a tired-looking woman who's, yeah. you know,
that's bitter. My, that's a little
my,
bitter.
Yeah, well. That's my view, but, you know.
There's something else that came
maybe
up.
Maybe she's
that.
Taking yoga and jogging, and I don't know about it.
Well,
know?
But I'm sure she'll write plenty of emails about her yoga
classes. That's right, 30,000 of them.
Duly yeah. noted, Ed. Yeah. That's what she does more than, probably does that more than the time she does yoga itself.
Right, that's right.
Types emails about it.
Yes, thousands.
Thousands.
And she'll just, of course, delete those.
I wanted to state for the record that I thought I sent that clip to Brent, but I didn't. I thought I did, but I didn't. So that was my fault. I did send him, though, the one that he started playing, like he probably should have, because the British, I thought this was interesting, the British radio host asked her about her book. You know, she and her daughter wrote this book called Gutsy Women. Listen to the question and answer that she got thrown. This is Cut 18.
I think it's quite striking from a British perspective going through this book that you haven't included Margaret Thatcher. Surely she comes to mind with gutsy woman, even if you didn't like her.
Well, she does, but she doesn't fit the other part of the definition, in our opinion, which really is knocking down barriers for others and trying to make a positive difference. I think the record is mixed with her. I thought it was clever of her to, you know, really try to mold herself to be more acceptable in terms of everything from hairstyle and speaking style to clothing style. But what were the positive differences, the changes that this person made that really opened doors to more? That wasn't that apparent.
How about the
her view of politics?
Did you want to finish that?
Well, she went on to say that the reason that her view of politics, we didn't include her because she doesn't see the world as we think it should be.
Right. She.
So it's not about women. It's about your viewpoints.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's you have not to have good view, enough. You have to be a woman. This is about their book. You have to be a woman with a certain viewpoint.
Right.
Not
be considered gutsy.
To be considered gutsy, right.
Yeah, and to be a trailblazer. This is the same problem that black conservatives have. is you're right. not black enough if you're conservative. You're right. not legitimately black if you have conservative right. viewpoints.
So it's a combo. You, in order to be a real woman, like you have to be, in order to be a real black person, you have to. Clarence Thomas is not a real black person.
No.
Right. And that's why he's insulted by other, by liberal blacks.
Doesn't matter what his skin color is. The fact that he has some conservative views disqualifies him from being. That came as a surprise to him.
Yes, that's
having
right.
grown up in South Carolina.
Yes, that's a good point.
You know, in a completely African-American
that
family.
That he wasn't black enough. So when he felt yeah. the sting of racism.
What was that movie that Steve Martin played in where
The Jerk?
He was raised by
a black. I was born a poor black child.
Yes, that's right. He was raised by a black family.
But he was white.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't know why that came to mind, but that's a funny scene right there. Where was I, Ed? Get me back on my train.
Well, we're talking about Hillary Clinton's interview with the British.
Oh, yeah, Margaret Thatcher.
Right.
It was kind of glaring by the fact she was left out of this book. And Margaret Thatcher, I was going to say to Hillary Clinton, although I couldn't talk to her, and it's a tape message, so she wouldn't hear me anyway.
Right.
I deducted that, how about the fall of the Berlin Wall?
Yes.
Maybe that affected a few people's lives.
Yeah, maybe that opened a few doors, yeah. Hillary.
Now, that was primarily led by President Ronald Reagan.
But a great partnership with
Great
Margaret
Britain
Thatcher.
With Margaret yes. Thatcher.
Yes.
And what they did to stand up to tyranny around the world, Margaret Thatcher was a great woman.
I'd also throw in Pope John Paul in Poland, mm-hmm. okay, who also led. That was part of the first crack
that helped with
in
that.
The Solidarity yeah. movement yeah. and so on and so forth. But let me just say that what the British reporter or newscaster, whoever's interviewing her, should have said was, Secretary Clinton, I knew Margaret Thatcher, and you're no Margaret Thatcher.
Well said.
Yes. Oh, man.
I even threw in some sort of
okay,
accent.
Okay, you got
sure
1 minute, Steve.
All right. Hey, we got the latest quid pro quo
really?
From President Trump. Yes. President Trump is considering making a country's foreign aid contingent upon its commitment to religious freedom. This is according to people in the White House. They are mandating that countries who fail to tolerate their religious minorities, including Christians, may have their humanitarian aid cut.
So that is extortion.
He's extorting them. Yes.
So that is an excellent policy change. Yeah. This is a president yeah. who wants to promote religious liberty around the world. Good for him.
Yeah, we've seen that. That's been lacking even in presidents that we have liked before.
Right.
They just haven't quite made that commitment. But President
Well,
Trump
it's hard
has
to do. It's hard to enforce sometimes because, you know, it's hard to be disciplined about that, you know. But
there's other reasons that we give people money that it's in our
right.
interest as well.
Right, we give people money. We give bad guys money sometimes yep. to do things against other bad guys. But I'm getting into the work of the CIA here, probably. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ed, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
And Brent, appreciate your contributions today. Brent Creeley produced the show for us. Our thanks to Fred Jackson for his reporting and his analysis the last hour. We will see you back here in 22 hours and 30 minutes. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.